No one likes failure, do they? In fact, most people would do almost anything to avoid failure. So, do you want to know the real secret to success? It's not dedication, it's not commitment, hard work, it's not smart work, passion, or even habits. You're not going to like the answer. I've heard it said that the real secret to success is managing your failures. And that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, my monthly Build a Business, Not a Job podcast with Mark Reedon. But today's show isn't just for people who are business people or entrepreneurs. It's for everybody, whether you're a property investor or just anyone normal in life, because we are all going to experience failures. So today, Mark Reedon and I are going to unpack some lessons about failure to make sure you're more of a success. So welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
As an entrepreneur, business owner, or investor, you're going to encounter failure. So how do you handle failure? And what valuable lessons can you learn from your failures? Well, that's what I'm going to discuss today with Mark Creedon, founder of Business Accelerator Mastermind, in this month's Build a Business, Not a Job podcast. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, Michael. Always good to have a chat with you.
Well, Mark, in general, people see success as a positive and they see failure as a negative. And in my mind, that's a problem, because I guess it really depends upon your perspective. Look, Thomas Edison, who spent years trying to invent the light bulb, was famously asked by an assistant, "Isn't that a shame? With all that tremendous amount of effort and work you've done, you haven't been able to get any results." And it's famously said, or supposedly said, I guess, that Edison replied with a smile, "Results? Why, man? I got a lot of results. I know several thousand things that don't work." So it all comes down to perspective, doesn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it does. It's interesting how we've developed that lopsided approach to things, that we only see it in that lopsided way. And just think, Michael, where would we be if Edison had accepted that failure and never moved forward?
That's a good way of thinking about it. So I thought today we'd actually have a look at some empowering lessons about failure that are going to help not just business owners, but property investors, us in all areas of our life. And I think one of the things that's important to recognize at the beginning is that failure teaches you that success is never guaranteed.
Yeah, that's a great quote. I mean, the reality is when you're looking at trying out something new, whether it is starting a business, whether you're applying for a new job, starting a blog, Michael, even starting a relationship, everybody wants to achieve success. But sometimes this desire of itself can be limiting, can't it? I mean, was it Winston Churchill once said that success is moving from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm?
Exactly right. And I've often said I'm a real success at failure, but it really has got to do with resilience, doesn't it? And just getting up one more time, because they're the people that succeed.
Absolutely. And I guess the other thing too is to think that, to keep in mind that failure comes at various levels as well. So failure, we're going to talk a bit more about this, but failure is not absolute. There's various levels of failure, and it's about how we get up each time from each one of those levels we encounter.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to realize, of course, is that failure isn't final. No matter how big the failure, the little one or the big one, I know at the time it feels like your world's come to an end, you've got a knot in your tummy, you feel you haven't achieved your dreams, but I know that after going through major failures, that's, while some people give up, that's actually when I've had my biggest successes, when you hit your rock bottom.
It's a great motivator. I think that after experience that major failure, it does feel like your world is coming to an end. And Michael, we've both been there.
Yeah.
I was chatting to one of our mastermind members yesterday, and he said that when he becomes overwhelmed, he makes a cup of tea. And it reminded me of something I read from a military book once, which was, you know, there's always time for a cup of tea. I think that what I've always done when I've encountered sort of significant failure is I've just stopped, I've taken stock, and I've come to the view, well, I'm just not going to let this failure beat me. I'll make myself a cup of tea, we'll work out a strategy, and on we march. So I guess that after going through failure, some people give up entirely on life, while others really just get in and learn from it and then proceed to start to recover from it.
Sure. So your attitude is going to be the big thing that makes a difference. And I remember years ago, the wise King Solomon had written, inscribed on in his ring, apparently, "This too shall pass." And the reason he did that was because you didn't become too complacent when times were good, but you weren't too despondent when times were bad and you had failures.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, "This too shall pass." The reality is rejection, adversity, all those things that sort of seem so important right now, they'll be forgotten by tomorrow. Michael, a very good friend of mine was a significant ad man here in Australia, and he used to say, showing my age, but he used to say, "Today's terrible news is going to be tomorrow's fish and chip wrapping." And it just goes to show that life will go on. You'll stick to your values. You'll stick to, you know, what you know is important. You'll weather the slings and arrows of fortune, and at the end of the day, you'll actually come out much stronger for it.
I hope some people who are listening to our chat at the moment are going to get comfort from this, because as we've already said, we've both had our share of failures in personal life, in business life, in investments. I've made my share of mistakes, probably not as many in that area of my life for the last 10 to 15 years. And at the time, it seems horrific. It seems like you're not going to move on. Everything's against you, but life does go on. And so therefore, you've got to remember that. What you worried about 5 years ago, if you think about it now, probably is totally irrelevant today.
Yeah, I always used to say to my kids, you know, when they were going through those sort of failures in their own life, I'd always say, always think of, you know, can you survive the worst possible scenario? And if you can survive the worst possible scenario, then we can get on with it. So whatever the failure may be, if we've still got breath, if we're still standing, then we can push forward from there.
I know it's easy to say to rationalize and think rationally when these things happen, Mark, but I did learn many years ago that when something goes wrong, when you do have a failure, there's a couple of questions you should ask yourself. What you already said, what's the worst that could happen? What's the best that could come out of it? And then, you know, what's going to happen is what's the most likely thing, which is somewhere in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess, Michael, the thing about failure is that it then does actually forces you to ask the question, what is the universe telling me?
That's interesting. Maybe it's actually telling you that you should embrace change, you should do something different, that what you're doing doesn't work. And I remember that popular, commonly mentioned quote from Albert Einstein that says something along the lines of, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If you keep doing the same things the way you did before, you're going to keep encountering failure. And people like to blame the outside world. It's the economy's fault. It's my boss's fault. Oh, it's the market's fault that my business is not doing well. And I remember one of my early mentors teaching me that if the dog bites you once, it's probably the dog's fault. And if it bites you twice, maybe it's the dog's fault. But if a dog bites you three times, you should wonder, what am I doing to aggravate, to annoy the dog?
It's a great saying. I mean, in psychological terms, of course, that's all about the external locus of control. But you and I have seen lots of people over time, both in our personal life, in our business life, in our professional life, where everything is everybody else's fault. Or, you know, it's, as you said, it's the economy, it's the environment, it's the people next door, it's my parents or whatever it might be. I think the really important thing when you do experience the failure and you're looking at what you can learn from it and how you can embrace some change is to actually look at the failure. What did you do wrong? Decide the changes you need to make in order to be successful next time. And remember that we're just looking to sort of move the needle a notch at a time. If we fail this time, what can we do differently tomorrow? And then what can we do differently the day after and the day after? And that's how we'll incrementally recover from that failure and get back to success, Michael.
So I guess what we're saying is take responsibility for it rather than blaming others and, yeah, recognize, okay, it didn't work. And again, if we go right back to the beginning and suggest that failure isn't necessarily a negative when success is a positive, if you view it differently, you're actually just seeing it as one step closer to getting it right. Because some people see it as a great source of motivation. Now, I know for some people, failure dampens their motivation. It makes them feel like quitting. But I found people with the right mindset actually find it as a great source of motivating them.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, the thing about, I think, with failure is you've got two choices. You can sort of curl up in the corner, or you can decide that you're going to move forward from. And that does require you to dig deep on motivation. I remember reading about Michael Jordan, basketball legend Michael Jordan. Michael, I mean, that was a great example. I think it was when he was a teenager, 15 or something like that. He wanted so much to be a part of his high school basketball team, but his high school coach didn't think he was worth being part of it.
Really?
He couldn't slam dunk. He was only 5'10" at the time. But for him, the realization that he didn't make the cut, whilst it crushed him, the story goes, he sort of went home that evening and cried in his room. But instead of letting it kill his dream, he just became more determined. He became determined that he was going to prove that coach wrong. Something that you say too, Michael, about sometimes when you're involved in failure or people focus on your failure, other people remind you of your failure, one of the great ways to prove them wrong is just to be successful.
Oh, very much so. It's the best way of getting them back. Look, I think the other thing is that failure teaches you to stay humble. Success is a lousy teacher. I've often said that if you get it right first time as a property investor, you probably think you're smarter than you are. I know when I got it right when I first started investing in my early 20s, it had nothing to do with choosing the right property. I chose right near where I lived, where I went to school. It was really a circumstance of the times, inflation coming, a new government, Whitlam Labor government coming in and property prices inflating. But I thought I was really smart. By the way, the market's humbled me a couple of years later, but that's another story. But getting it right first time makes you feel invincible, like you were meant to be successful. It sometimes even leads to a level of arrogance. And I know you have seen, because we've discussed it in business, people who haven't had those failures, and they go into business with a different, they continue on in business with a different sort of attitude that usually brings them down.
That's right. It always reminds me, is it Greek mythology of Icarus who flew into the sun thinking he wouldn't burn up? I mean, they become thinking that they are invincible, that they can't possibly fail, they can't go wrong. And I guess the good thing about experiencing failure is that it stops you from letting that success go to your head. I mean, even when things are going well, there's always this little tick going in the back of your mind saying, you know, I just need to be aware that things could fall over, things could go wrong. And I think that keeps you really humble. I remember, Michael, reading this great story in Mark Burris's autobiography where he went to Kerry Packer for some backing, for some financial backing, and Packer said to him, in an inimitable Packer style of, well, son, how many times have you failed? And Burris very proudly said, no, never. And Packer's response was, well, get out and come back and see me when you have. So I think it's a really important process to keep that humility and understand that failure teaches you those lessons, Michael.
Well, I know in your capacity as business coach to some very, very successful business people, entrepreneurs and professionals, you've seen they've experienced failure. What percentage of the successful people that you've dealt with have suffered major failures?
About 100%, Michael.
I was surprised by that answer, of course. I guess I was leading to it because the answer is yes, we all have.
Yeah, about 100%. You and I both know, and we've mentioned it before, but you and I both know people who succeeded first time, succeeded second time, thought they became invincible. And really, we would often say, whilst we would not hope for their failure for anything bad for them, but we would hope for their failure so it would teach them how to be more successful. And it's only through that failure that they ultimately, I guess, learned that success lesson, Michael.
So I guess one of the other lessons, as we're talking about lessons one can learn from other people's failures, is that it's not unique. Everyone goes through some kind of adversity, some kind of rejection, a period of low confidence. So you're not special, you're not unique, and all you've got to recognize is that others have it's happened to others, they've got through it, and you should too.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I'm in those positions over the years, when I failed, it's about picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and go, well, look around for. You talk about this a lot at Wealth Retreat, Michael, about how to remove yourself of limiting beliefs is to find proof that somebody else can do it. If you believe it can't be done, but you can see that somebody can do it. So if somebody else has failed, they've picked themselves up, they've dusted themselves off, they've learned, and then they've succeeded, then there's absolutely no reason why the same rules can't apply to you.
That makes sense. Mark, I think one of the other things that concerns people about failure is criticism from others or judgment from others.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, Michael, I used to say to my kids that other people's opinions of them is none of their business. And I think that it's important to remember that what people actually think of you is none of your business. And what you do, so that what you need to then do is take feedback with a little bit of grain of salt. I mean, feedback is great and advice is great, and it's all designed for you to take it in, think about how you can use it, and apply it using your own compass, your own values, your own principles. But if we spend our whole time thinking about that any kind of criticism is judgment, we're going to be so busy looking at that, we're just going to trip over ourselves in the process and we'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure.
Well, having said that, you still need people around you because you can't become successful I think in any area of your life in isolation, whether it's business and the areas that you're talking about, professional practices, entrepreneurs, business people, in my area of investment, you actually need people around. You need mastermind. You need mentors. I know you run a very large mastermind of successful business people. I just, before we did this recording, came off a mastermind session with one of my business coaches. You're my main business coach, but I've got coaches in various areas of my life. I'm prepared to pay for them. I'm part of masterminds, but I'm careful whose opinions I listen to and whose judgments I listen to. So listen to people who've actually walked the talk, done what you've wanted to do and achieved what you want to achieve, rather than, everyone's an expert at the moment. They're experts on health at the moment. Everyone's an epidemiologist all of a sudden. The experts on the economy or on political issues. I wouldn't be paying attention to people who've got their credentials from Facebook or Instagram.
No, well, that's right. It's one of my little entertainment things is to just scroll through Facebook and have a look at all the latest experts that are talking about property or the market or the economy or, goodness me, talking about, you know, COVID-19. And you're right, everybody's a virologist or an epidemiologist these days. So you do have to be very careful. But, Michael, you know that, for example, in our Business Accelerator Mastermind, in your mentorship group with Metropole and the people that you work with in property investing in Metropole, we know by having that group of people around, by having experts around them, they get the opportunity to sort of stand on the shoulders of the experts. And so, Michael, what's that favorite saying of yours? It's, you know, alone you can travel faster, but together you can travel further.
Exactly right. So when people criticize you, you actually probably should recognize that it's not you. It's actually them. What they're doing is they're telling you something about how they feel about the world rather than you. There are people out there who are wanting to pull you down, aren't they? While successful people revel in others' success. And we see that when I'm part of the mastermind group, Business Accelerator Mastermind, and you hear people in the tribe in private forums or in the Zoom sessions you have with them who get pleased and get excited when other people are successful, as opposed to you go down to the pub and people will actually love knocking you and making fun if you're not successful.
Well, and making fun if you are successful as well. I mean, Australia has this great tall poppy syndrome, doesn't it? You'll recall, Michael, being at the Gold Coast for one of our mastermind intensives recently. When you walk around the room and you talk to all of the successful people there, I love the fact that there's this no superhero policy. Everybody shares in their success. They also share their failures, and so they actually support the success, but they similarly support the failures and say, hey, listen, I learned from that. That happened to me. Let me help you with that. Let me show you through the process. And I guess it's really important just to keep that in mind, that it's not always all about you. And you're right that sometimes people, when they are practicing that tall poppy syndrome, it actually says more about them. It's a reflection more about them than it is about you, Michael.
Now, a common friend of ours, Tom Corley from the United States, when I mentioned this to him, he looked weird at me and he didn't know that. He didn't understand what tall poppy is. And I said, you know, when one poppy comes higher than the crowd, somebody's there to lop it off. And he said, that's not how we think in America. He actually says people revel in success. Now, probably that has more to do with his group of friends and the people he hangs around than common opinion.
Look, that's right. Although, you know, one of the things I love about listening to the Americans is that saying that, you know, anybody can dream to be the president of the United States. I mean, sometimes they end up with interesting choices, but we'll leave that for the moment. But it's something that you don't hear in Australia. You know, you don't hear people generally saying, well, anybody can grow up to be the prime minister. I mean, I think we do have that tall poppy syndrome. And I guess in most areas of your life, whether it's business entrepreneurship, whether it's professional practice or whether it's property investing, that's where having that group of people around you just becomes so vitally important and so supportive, doesn't it?
Sure, it does. Now, we've mentioned it a couple of times. I've actually got a number of other lessons I'd like to discuss with you about failure. But before we do, maybe you can explain to those who haven't heard this podcast before, and we have thousands of new listeners every episode. I'm really pleased with seeing how popular these sessions are. So maybe you could explain to them, or people who've already listened to us before, exactly what we're talking about when we discuss Business Accelerator Mastermind.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Look, Business Accelerator Mastermind is a business coaching program. And what we do is we show service business owners and professionals how to actually build a business and not just a job. So we help them to maximize their time, have the very best team around them, and set and achieve targets using those first two strategies. It's a program that involves lots of one-on-one time with me, some time with you, and lots of time with each other. So we work both on individual accountability, shared wisdom, and collective momentum as well. And we deliver it online. There's lots of work on Zoom. We have sessions every week. But as you know, we also three times a year get together in on the Gold Coast, in Sydney and in Melbourne, where all of our members fly in from all over the country and actually spend a day or two working on their business. And that's kind of where I see lots of the real magic happening too, Michael.
Well, where I see the magic happening is in the results, because I know that all the people that are part of Mastermind are busy already. They're busy in their practice. And I think one of the common things they first say is, oh, yeah, look, I know I should do it. I actually haven't got the time. And that's one of the challenges we all have. My sessions with you as my business coach are locked in my diary, can't change. My sessions with one I just had a short while ago with Simon Bowen, a coach in a different area, who's not as good in property or business as you are, but he's good in other areas. So he helps me. So I've got different coaches in different areas. That's locked in and I can't move those out. And in fact, I recognize that if I spend time on that, that's a great investment in myself. Hey, Mark, if I'm not going to invest in myself, who am I going to invest in? Where am I going to invest?
Well, that's right. And the other thing too, if you're not going to invest in yourself, I think it's hard to ask for people to invest in you as well. Michael, I was having a conversation with one of our Mastermind members, a professional, yesterday. And when he first joined, he said to me, oh, I don't have time. I won't have time to spend time on it. And in the conversation we had yesterday, he said, look, I've just realized that we've done all these new things in my professional practice and I had nothing to do with them. And I only look back on and realize that over the last 12 months, we've actually got to that point where, because I've committed the time, because I've spent the time attending the sessions, that's what I've achieved. And it's really interesting and I mean, I love it. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Sure. But people will say, oh, I haven't got time now. I'll get around to it when things are okay in business. I'll get around to it when life's more normal. Mark, that never is it?
No. It's like, oh, Michael, I'm only going to buy real estate at the bottom of the market. Can you just let me know when that is? I mean, how do you predict this? There's no perfect time.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that's right. The best time to work on your business was yesterday. The second best time is today.
Now, having said all that, before we get on to the other lessons, if people want to speak to you and see how you could help them, like you've helped me, like you've helped the other directors of Metropole, like you've helped so many other people now for a couple of decades, what I'd be suggesting is you go to metropolemastermind.com.au. There'll be a link in the show notes, Metropole Mastermind, to find out all about Business Accelerator Mastermind. And Mark, would you be happy just to have an obligation-free chat to see if there is a fit?
Oh, I'd be absolutely delighted to.
Great. So let's get back to some more lessons about failure, because if we can learn from other people's failures, of course, we are still going to have some of our own, but the more lessons we learn from others, the easier it'll be when we have our challenging times. And I think one of the other lessons I'd like to just have a chat with you about is the concept that time is the greatest teacher. The more experiences you've had, the more time you've dealt with situations, the more failures you've had, the thicker your skin becomes, I guess, the less it hurts each time.
Yeah, it's true. Your skin does become thicker. And I mean, certainly the other thing it's helped me to do, Michael, is it's helped me to understand where I went wrong, understand why those situations occurred. It's helped me to face numerous situations. At the time, they might have seemed horrific, but they've helped me to build resilience. I guess the other thing too, you know, if I could sort of tap back into the concept of a mastermind group of any sort, one of the advantages of a mastermind group is because there's lots of people in there who have actually been through that process. So sometimes you can sort of fast track that time just that little bit by tapping into other people's experience as well.
Sure. Look, I actually also find it interesting, many of the great books, many of the great movies are actually the great stories are about people who've overcome adversity. It's interesting how we like to hear that rejection, failure, adversity has made people stronger.
Oh, Michael, rejection's a very powerful tool. Goodness me, if it wasn't for rejection, I probably wouldn't have gotten married. got rejected that many times, somebody had to say yes eventually. I think the advantage of rejection, and we've spoken about this, it builds resilience. It's a useful tool. It helps you just to critically look at where it is that you've gone wrong, to get better, to improve the area of your life. And if we could take away one thing from this and people started seeing rejection as a tool and a useful tool, I think that would be a brilliant outcome.
I think that would be. I think the other concept to remember is that at does take practice to become successful, whether it's a baby starting to walk or you becoming a good sports person or even in relationships and particularly in business and in property investing, which I love talking about. Having said that, you can shortcut some of those mistakes by having mentors, as we said, but there's no doubt that you do actually have to do it. It can't just be the theory. So practice, get it wrong, get better each time and improve.
Yeah, exactly. Michael, I've just started learning guitar. And surprisingly, when I picked the guitar up first time, I can't play it like Tommy Emmanuel. You know, so I've got, you know, calluses forming on my fingertips and I can get down four chords as long as people have a little drink between the chords while I'm changing them. But as I've noticed over the last few weeks, I get that little bit better, that little bit faster, that little bit smoother in the chord changes. And it's true. That's true across everything in life. It's true in business. It's true in property. It's just true in life in general. If you practice something long enough, eventually that's how you'll become a master at it.
So, Mark, of course failure doesn't feel good. Not getting your goal leaves you that unmotivated feeling, not being successful in your business, having a failure. And we know a lot of small businesses fail, does feel terrible. But as I hope this message, this discussion we've had helps people, you can look at it another way. It can open up learning experiences from it. So what are a couple of the lessons, the learnings that you can get from failure that I think is important just to conclude this chat with?
Yeah, 100%, Michael. I think, first of all, failure fosters creativity. And if you fail by taking a route traditionally associated with success, then you may then have to embark on a novel path when you try again. So having failure creates creativity in the way you do things. I think you also
makes you look at things a different way. Hey, that didn't work. What else? I'll show you, that's the way you should think. What can I do differently? And it sparks that creativity, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it absolutely does. I think the other thing too is that it teaches you, and I know out of my failures over my lifetime, it certainly taught me who to trust. So, you know, I mean, for example, working with friends and family can often be a part of running a business, but sometimes, you know, things just sort of don't quite go the way you'd like them to. So learning who to trust, learning who you should work alongside is a really valuable part of the lessons that come from failure.
That's a good one. Yeah. Any other lessons you'd like to just conclude with?
The two last things I'd like to tap into is that you learn to listen to yourself. So the more you fail and you ask yourself the question, what did I do wrong? How could I improve it? What could I do differently next time? And the more you get advice from that, you start to build your own sort of gut feeling and you start to build a trust in yourself. You start to listen to yourself. And I guess that's a nice segue into the fact that it actually helps you to build resilience. You know, failure is painful, but what it does is it builds resistance. It gets a little less painful every time. And that is what helps you take you on the path from failure to success.
Well, Mark, you know, they've often said there's two certainties in life, death and taxes. I think there's another one. There actually is failure as well. It's going to happen. So I guess the message we're trying to get to the listeners, and thank you for sticking with us in this podcast today, is that accept failure as just a normal part of success. And when you do, you'll be better next time. It's tempting to think, oh, I've made a mistake. I'm not going to try that again. No, failure should teach you that trying once doesn't mean you're never going to achieve success the next time around. All you've got to do is look at it differently, identify what's led to the failure, why the results you were looking for didn't help. And from that, you can then form a strategy for future success and avoid making the mistakes again. So to finish off today, Mark, failure is painful. No one wants to go through this, but it's inevitable. So as long as you've been attempting something you've never done before, and as long as you keep pursuing your dream, you can't avoid failure. So rather than trying to avoid it, because that's what stops people investing, they're too scared, starting relationships, they're too worried what could go wrong if it fails, getting into business, they're too worried. Rather than avoiding it, despite the pain, recognize that it's just part of the process and you'll move forward.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, despite the pain that comes with a failure, it does have a silver lining. And that's really what it's all about, is understanding that, working toward the next success.
Well, I don't think this chat was a failure. I actually think it was a success, Mark. I enjoyed our chat today.
I always do, Michael. It's always good fun chatting with you.
I look forward to our next podcast real soon.
Bye.
Well, I hope you got some inspiration about failure in my chat with Mark. That's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? Inspiration about failure. But I think you know what we're getting at, the different perspective will make life easier. But if you know somebody who's having a bit of a challenge at the moment, if you know somebody who'd get some benefit from listening to this podcast, why not tell them about it? Why not tell them about the Michael Yardney podcast or tell the world by leaving a review? And if you want to catch me in between these regular shows, just look for Michael Yardney on social media, or you can join my private Facebook group. Go to the Property Update private Facebook group. I'd love to leave you, like I do with everyone else in that group, just a daily little thought, some charts, a commentary that I don't leave elsewhere. I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney Podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?